Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, hello. Hola. Do you know what I realized the other day? When you were doing like your range of merch and stuff, you should have done doormats. We've got a doormat with hello on. And I said to Gemma, ah, if Marcus has missed out here.
Brilliant.
Hello, listeners of Low Your Expectations. Welcome back to the poddy. How's it going, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as good as in the last couple of episodes because England are at the World Cup.
Oh, mate, get over it, you pussy.
Has it been a week since it went out? Yeah, it was a week yesterday.
Is it a week?
Week yesterday.
That's flown by.
For you, literally.
Yeah. Hey, that was actually quite good, I like that.
How many flights? Six in 8 days? Or eight in
no,
six
eight
days?
No, eight flights in 6 days. Yeah, it's a new personal record for me, so I love planes right now.
How do you feel about that? That's quite impressive. Was the food good?
No.
Really?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was like the whole here's a bread roll kind of food. We didn't have a meal on any of the flights. It was like
So for context, Marcus was out in Moscow, watched the semi-final, England lose, and then you went to Berlin
for a job, then to London the next day. And then back to Russia, but had to fly to Rome.
Via Rome.
Because all the flights are sold out. So down to Rome, up to Moscow, back down to Rome, back to London. Yeah, a lot of flying.
Yeah, but how are you doing? How are you feeling?
I do feel quite exhausted, if I'm honest, which I don't usually feel, but probably doesn't help that I'm off to Tomorrowland today. Hey! Just bad timing. But no, I am good other than that. And Moscow...
Yeah, well, how was Moscow?
...is interesting.
Because I feel like it's kind of a place with a like mystery surrounding. There's so much history. 100%.
Also, so much impression based through media. And it's like a bit like, what you know, when we went to Mexico City and we're like, oh my God, Mexico's, you know, oh my God, we're all going to die, sort of.
Narcos is around.
Yeah, yeah. When you go there, it's a completely different experience. And I have to be honest, I wasn't the biggest fan of Moscow as a city. It was too big. Sounds stupid to say. It was, the scale of it was just ridiculous.
Was it similar to Mexico City? Because that was quite a big place, wasn't it?
Probably similar to Mexico City, but just getting from place to place was a bit of a nightmare.
Was it really, obviously it was the World Cup, so was it quite busy?
It was quite busy. Also, a lot of the Russian people seem to have, I don't know if it's the way they are, but they seem to have a bit of an aggressive front towards people. Now, I don't know if that's because obviously the World Cup's on and they're just really pissed off of all the tourists.
Have you spoken to Steffi about it? Because obviously she must have, so when she listens to this, like, oh.
No, I will speak to her. I just haven't caught up with her yet.
your hatred for Russians.
No, it was funny though, because when I was there, I was like, oh, like Steffi's parents are Russian. But it's a complete different, they're Siberian, which is, it's like the complete other side of Russia. It's like above Asia sort of thing.
That's quite like badass, isn't it? A Siberian.
Yeah,
it's cool. Sounds cool,
it's
doesn't
cool,
it?
Yeah.
Isn't there Siberian tigers?
Yeah, need to ask them about that.
Big question, not the big question, but a big question. Did you have any vodka?
No, actually. I didn't, I had a lot of beer. But when we were there for the England game, we were supposed to have this sort of sit-down meal before the game, but there was so much traffic we didn't have time, and we ended up at the bar and just having a beer. I got talking to the barman there.
Like that from you? A bit of small talk?
Yeah, well,
like
he started talking to me, and I was really proud to tell everyone that my girlfriend was Russian. So literally every Russian, I was like, my girlfriend's Russian? And they just were like, cool. Okay. But he got talking, and then he's like, let me give you some shots. And we were like, yeah, but it's going to be vodka. And he's like, no, this is special Russian shot. And we're like, okay, cool. So he like lines out all these shots. Mate, it was the most disgusting. Sam threw up in his mouth. Like
no,
my mate Sam literally threw up in his
God.
Mouth after doing the shot.
What was it like?
I don't know what
tequila, Sambuca?
Take Sambuca, mix it with tequila. I think a bit of absinthe in there as well.
Oh.
It was nasty.
But did the job.
Did the job. England didn't do the job.
No. Honestly, if you knew me in real life, this is a big thing. I
Did
don't
you
want
cry?
To talk about football. Yes.
Did you?
Yeah. I was in front of all of, like, Gemma's family, and, like, their family friends are there. Gemma's dad's really into football.
Did he cry? Did Alan
no,
cry?
No, he was just angry. He didn't cry.
Punching the TV?
No. He was just frustrated. He was upset, but not crying. Whereas I was, like, head in hands.
Oh.
Gemma was there next to me, like, consoling me.
Oh,
but
my God.
The family friends, like, who are really lovely, and they'd just given us, like, our wedding photos. It was, oh, you know, really nice. And then they were like, oh, well, you know, in 4 years' time, let's see if it goes again. But I was, like, in my head, this is never going to happen
it's
again.
It's a generation.
It's a generation thing.
Once in a lifetime. You've got to be positive. It's
first
a young
time
team.
In 28 years.
It's a young team. We've got a bright future.
It was one game, actually, that Gemma watched it with me. Well, she watched a bit of the Panama game with me, but and she really doesn't like football, hates it, but she was like, had her arm around me. She was looking after
That's
me.
That's cute.
She knew what it meant to me. You were in Moscow for that one night for the game, weren't you? And then the next
yeah, it was,
time
it
you
was
went,
a shame.
You went for a couple of days.
Yeah, it was a shame because I've never been to Russia. I've never been to Moscow. So for the England game, I was very excited, but I literally flew in, landed at the airport, coached to the game, back from the game, sleep. Left first thing in the morning. So I literally didn't see anything of Russia. Yeah. So for the next trip, I was a bit excited because we extended our stay for a day to have a day of exploring Moscow. I don't know. It's just what I feel bad about is not knowing enough history about Moscow. I've talked about it previously where I regret hating history at school because now I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And that's probably one thing I want to put a bit of time into is knowing some history behind Russia because I don't know anything. I was so tired when I went to bed and I was like, I want to watch a Putin documentary. Tried to find one that was sort of middle ground. And I was watching 5 minutes. I was like, oh, I'm fucking knackered. I just need to go to sleep.
What were the tube stations like? From outside Russia, there's this perception like they're the best tube stations in the world.
See, I didn't know about this. And I was with one of the other talent on the job. She was from Moscow. She was like showing us around and all this stuff. And she took us to the tube. And she was like, oh, it's amazing. It's like so cool. It's beautiful. It's all this. I mean, I walked down and I was like, it's nothing special. Like, it's
when you're going down the escalator, isn't there like art all on the walls and stuff? And
not in the tube stations I was in. What I would say was cool was inside the tubes, rather than like plastered with adverts like ours is, it has loads of history in Russian all over the tube. So if you get in the tube and you understand Russian, it would be fascinating. It'd be really interesting.
I'd much prefer that here.
Yeah, how cool would that be? Amazing.
For each area you're going to.
Not even that, just history, just something interesting to read or to further your knowledge. I don't know if I didn't go to the main station or something like that, but yeah, it wasn't, I mean, it was a tube. Imagine coming to London and me being like, yo, man, you need to check out the Central Line. I might have been at the wrong station, so I don't want to offend anyone.
Last random note on tubes. I really like the metro in Paris.
I literally can't remember the metro.
It's like really gothic. But then the actual system isn't, you know, I don't think it's as quick as London.
London.
But like the aesthetic of it, I find really cool.
Is it AC?
I don't think so. Not many places are, though, are they? Well, I feel like we're quite lucky here.
We're lucky here?
Yeah. Because you've got what? District Line as AC, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but the main ones aren't
yeah,
they?
It is.
No,
district
no, the
line,
main
not
tube
central,
lines.
Northern.
Central isn't, Northern isn't, Victoria isn't.
Yeah.
So literally one tube is AC.
Why is that so weird, isn't it?
Don't know, but yeah, that's the other thing. She was like, yeah, all the tubes have AC. We got on it and it didn't. So I was like, oh.
So what happened there? How does that work?
Well, I don't know.
Did you say to her, what's the AC?
No, I think
that's
she was
a funny
like,
AC. Yeah.
She was like, oh, some of the old trains don't have it. I was like, oh, okay.
It's convenient.
You lied. It's very cheap in Moscow, coming from London. 40-minute taxi.
What's the...
Rupees.
Like, rupees? Ruskies. No, that's for Russia, isn't it?
Russian money.
Rupees is Indian.
Ruble, ruble. Oh. Sorry, ruble. Yeah, and like a 40-minute taxi would cost maybe £3. But I must say, not once did I feel threatened in Moscow. Not once did I feel unsafe. It's a major city. And I spoke to the woman about this from there. And I was like, oh, is it dangerous? It's the same thing. Of course, there's dangerous areas. The same in London. But as a city, I must say, I never felt threatened once. So
that's good.
I'd love to check out St. Petersburg, though.
Giving that a shout out. The St. Petersburg Tourism Board, if you're
listening. Hit me up, Putin.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Before we go into this, I just want to make a safety announcement. Are you wearing your seatbelt? At home, are you wearing your seatbelt? Because the key's going in the ignition.
I think you're ready for kids already.
We're going up. Up, up and away. Oh, wait, what's that on the right-hand side? I can't really make it out. Oh, it looks like...
Elon Musk.
It's Elon Musk with a submarine. No, I think it's Instagram, actually. And on the left, I think that's YouTube, or is it YouTube Music? I can't tell. But wait, straight ahead, there's a little sign. What does that say? I can't see it yet. Wait, we're coming closer. Digital world. But before we go into the actual digital world, can we do an undercard?
What? What's that? What do you mean?
Because there's a main subject we're going to talk about. We're going to do an undercard because... we're speaking about the KSI and Logan Paul fight. Wait.
Yay. YouTubers fighting.
I know we've spoken about it before, so we're not going to talk about it for long.
In case you have no idea what we're talking about.
Oh, sure, yeah.
KSI, massive UK YouTuber. Logan Paul, massive American YouTuber. Are fighting in August, having a boxing match. That's top line. Yep. And there was a press conference. Sorry. Yeah.
No, it's good that you did that, because I think
we just assume
we're so involved with it in the YouTube space.
Yes.
But yeah, you assume everyone knows, but it's funny. You talk to a normal person and they're like, what are you talking about?
Yes. Although it's getting some actual hype now in press and media and KSI and on Good Morning Britain and all stuff like that. So
yeah, our favourite for the big question, actually, the Daily Mirror did a live stream of it, like live reporting. So... here we go. It's made the tabloids. Last night, there was a press conference in London.
In London. Things went mental.
I'm just getting to the point where... because I've watched the first press conference in LA, and that was like an hour-long stream, wasn't it? So it was like, oh, okay. This time, I didn't want to do that. So I did. I confess, I just watched the highlights.
My favourite thing was how many keen YouTubers went. And
really?
Well, yes, like... how so many YouTubers... It is funny, isn't it? I mean, we're kind of doing it now. Like, when a big moment happens, everyone kind of tries to capitalise on it. But it did make me laugh how many YouTubers went, like, thinking, oh my God, I need to vlog this, and then got a video up, like, ASAP. Before KSI or Logan could even upload. It was funny. Because I saw KSI tweeting, he's like, oh, I can't get up. And I was like, so many other YouTubers are capitalising on this right now.
Yeah, I mean, the point I want to talk to you about with it is, because obviously in boxing there's the shit talking, that's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you're building up the hype and all of this. But I've watched both conferences now, and they have like a host there who's meant to be asking questions and finding out things, and it's kind of playful and all of this. True Geordie did it yesterday, who's a really good host, and he's done the YouTube matches and things like that. Literally didn't get a chance to ask one question.
Yeah.
It was just KSI repeatedly swearing, shouting at Logan, and then Logan just walked off. He quit the event.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, first off?
Comparing it to boxing, we have YouTubers who are personality-based characters fighting. Boxing, we have professional athletes boxing. My viewpoint on it is, yes, everything you just said is happening because it's who's got the biggest ego. I'm a character. I'm going to shout. I've got fans here. Let's go crazy. That's where it's at.
Yeah. And it's almost like WWE, isn't it?
Well, it is a little bit, yeah. And it's just, I mean, it's mad, the hype and the following it's got. It feels like it's just getting a bit ridiculous. I don't know, like...
I kind of just wish there was a bit more substance with it, because I would have been really intrigued to know some of the more boxing-related things rather than just saying, fuck the pools. I'm like, okay, I get that. Fine. Yeah. And he's playing up to the fans and the ego and all of that. But it would have been nice to hear True Geordie. I'm sure he had some good questions.
Yeah, but Logan got so rattled that he had to leave before he could even get any questions out.
But then True Geordie couldn't even speak because KSI...
But that's the thing. It's because the personalities there are bigger than the hosts. You need someone who can bring it together. Like, whenever you see an event or something like this, the host has to lead the way. But when you've got characters that are bigger, not in terms of following, in terms of personality, bigger voices and stuff, that's hard to control. YouTubers become very hard in front of a fan base of hundreds of thousands of people going screaming their name, and like, it's hard to just go, yo guys, hold it together, like, let me do my thing.
Well, it was interesting because in the LA one, the host there tried doing that, and in the end, obviously it didn't work, but he was actually trying to control and be like, okay, champ, you speak.
Well, I think that was maybe easy to control because that was outside, do you remember? So it's like, you're not enclosed, you don't have an echoing, and the sound's not heightened, etc. Whereas this was just, it was quite intense, wasn't it?
Yeah. I just felt a bit sorry for the fans who had gone there, because all they got in the end was just seeing.
Did you see what happened after?
No, what happened after?
So there was a lot of trouble after, because, so Logan left, obviously. Where the area was, fans, I'll have to show you the video, because it's quite intimidating. So fans managed to climb on like all the houses and around the parking lot, and people started like throwing buckets of paint aiming for like Logan. People got hit with buckets of paint and stuff. Police had to come and then close it down.
Oh, God's sake. Like, it just annoys me so much, because, and I really like KSI as like as a creator and an entertainer, that's the right word, I do. But you're right, it's getting out of hand now, and I feel like it's just the level of ridiculousness, the ceiling's broken, that's gone, isn't it? Their audience predominantly is teenagers and things. Why is it getting so aggressive like this? I swear it wasn't this bad for Joe Weller.
I don't think it was. Because this is like a proper thing now, isn't it? It's like a proper, I'm going to kick the shit out of you thing.
Let's round this up, see what happens. I just hope it stays... Yeah, we try and stick to the sport aspect of it. I don't think that's going to happen, but I would like to see more.
I would also just like to say, I did find it really funny. I think Logan was really embarrassed when his dad tried to come on and take the mic and speak back to KSI and just massively failed. That I did have a little chuckle then.
Oh, I just felt so... I mean, if Logan and Jake have flown all this way for essentially...
you've just reminded me. Did you see the link to Logan's tweet that I sent you?
No, I didn't.
Can I read it out? Yeah. I want to see your live reaction to this. So I was like, oh, I wonder if... So basically, I saw it. I was like, oh, I wonder if Logan's like said anything about walking out. So I went on his Twitter. This was Logan Paul's tweet a couple of days ago. Board the plane. Flight attendant gives me the old eyeball. Up and down. High socks. Short shorts. Saggy blonde hair. Picture perfect fuckboy. Give him my ticket. First class? Stunned. He goes, oh, wow. And points me to my seat. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Oh, my God.
Is that not one of the most awful things you've ever seen tweeted?
I don't feel sorry for him wasting his time.
I literally read that. I felt sick in my mouth.
So obnoxious.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it's really, really obnoxious. Yeah. Unfortunately, though, in America at the moment, obnoxious wins, doesn't it? So, yay! Shadu Graham, Borko 22, Lil Michaela. What do these things have in common?
They got cool names.
Yes, that's true.
They're on Instagram.
That's also true.
They post pictures.
None of them are real. But they've got 129k on Instagram, 113,000 followers.
Let's talk about
Lil Michaela. 1.3 million.
You might not have seen these people yet. You might have heard of Lil Michaela. They are kind of animated virtual influencers, and they're kind of computer-generated beings.
What is going on in this world? They're not real.
I know.
But I think the aesthetic's really cool, but where's the line? Like, what's... I don't understand it.
I guess it's just a way of exploring something different, you know. It's bringing... With TV, I guess you have anime, but then you have...
True.
Real thing, like with real people. Is it kind of bringing that into the social media world?
A parallel could be Paddington Bear has its own Twitter account and tweets all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's obviously, there isn't a bear tweeting.
That's him. With his little paws.
Yeah. A little duffel coat in Notting Hill. I don't think marmalade. What do you think about it, first of all? Because, you know, as an influencer yourself, you could see this as competition. It's like, who is this, the new gang coming in?
Knocking on my door.
And you can't even, if you wanted to try and box them, you can't. Oh. They don't exist.
I think it's kind of cool. I follow Lil Miquela and I think it's cool because I like their style and I like the aesthetic of what they're doing. And I think it's, I just find it interesting. I think it's cool.
So I think Lil Miquela was, or is, managed by this company who I imagine created her and designed her and all of this. I know another one was created by an artist who was just doodling and then decided to upload it to Instagram. In terms of, like, they do brand deals and things like that. Like, I find that crazy. But for brands, it must be a dream because it's like, this person is never going to get them in trouble. It's never going to be controversial.
Yeah, there is that. A lot of the reason why influencer marketing in working with influencers works is because there is that direct relationship with an audience where people, it's a more authentic relationship as opposed to a traditional celebrity because they have a closer point of contact, and you obviously don't have that with these things. So whilst they're cool, these virtual influencers, I don't think they're ever going to like replace me or people like me, I hope, because they're different. They're just, they're bringing something in to the social media world, but it's not going to replace us anytime soon. That's not to say in 20 years time, wherever we're going to be a VR and virtual reality and augmented reality. That could be a different story, but right now, I think it's a step in that direction, but they're not here to take things away from us.
Okay, because it brings me to this question. Are these like creations, are they art, or is it just another way to advertise things? Is it just sleazy advertising?
It depends how it's done. If they're doing just branded work every single post, then I guess their motivation's quite obvious.
Do you know Lil Miquela released a song on Spotify?
No, I didn't know that. Did you listen to it?
Yeah, it's just mental. I mean, the song's fine. It's not really my thing, but...
What is it? Is it rap?
No, it's kind of like housey.
Well, they got the robot voice in there. Interesting, yeah. Interesting to see where it's going to go.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
I don't know what to think. I find it so strange. I really like it if it's meant to be intended as like almost an art installation and it's like reflecting society back at us, if you know what I mean. Because for all intents and purposes, they're like normal people, aren't they? Because they do, I don't think they do stories yet properly.
No.
I saw Borko, I'm probably not saying that right, did a live stream the other day. But I didn't get to watch it, so I'm like, I wonder how that worked. Like,
yeah, that
but they've got loads of fans and people. I guess it's like you say with anime, they just love it.
Yeah,
I wonder if it's going to go down the route of like almost like a soap, like EastEnders or something, where they start having relationships with each other.
Well, of course, I saw that. Yeah, they're starting to hang out, aren't they? They're starting to post pictures and like collaborate and stuff. So
it's really funny because I talked about Borko, and you're like, oh yeah, is that the one that was in Lil Miquela's post? I'm like, fuck's sake, they're not real. But yeah, I do. It reminds me actually of like what Gorillaz did originally. So when they first came around in like 1999, they were just it's animated band. They were meant to be a satire of pop music, whereas now it is much more about the music and it's Damon Albarn. I don't know where
that's
going
to
go.
Different because they're real people making music and just using a character to hide themselves. Whereas this is not that. This is there's no human.
I would love to know like the technology behind it, how they do it, because the photos, some of them, you're like, well, that's not because some of them you're like, oh my god, that's
when
amazing.
I spoke to Steffi about it and showed her, she's like, yeah, she's like, I think I know how to do it. She's like, then so they've cast normal people, like they've cast Lil Miquela and she's a real person, but they've then digitalized her through either Facetune or something like that through Photoshop. But I don't know, like she said that and I was like, oh, is that,
what would you do if someone came to you wanting to use your image rights to create one?
Be like, how much do you want to pay?
I mean, apart from that,
10 mil. Job done, sorted. Vegas.
Oh my god. If Steffi's right, if her theory's right, that's strange, isn't it? I would love to know like the back end, like the market research that went into it, because obviously they've created them with a purpose of being popular and stuff.
Yeah,
but I guess watch your space, because
be on the podcast next year.
Oh, could you imagine?
Well, not with that robotic voice. Or do everyone's head in.
we love this and you should too. Or at least try it.
I haven't seen the full episode yet, but Sacha Baron Cohen is back. And I watched the 10-minute clip on YouTube. I think he's so good. Sacha Baron Cohen, if you don't know who he is, Borat, Bruno, Ali G, he's the man behind all of these characters. And he's got a new series out called Who is America? And in the 10-minute clip that I saw that went viral on YouTube, he has created a character and he's interviewing politicians and basically seeing how far he can push gun control. He's back. I'm excited to see the show. So I haven't, but based on the 10-minute clip I've seen, it looks like a fascinating watch. It's
cool. I think it's on Channel 4, actually.
Yeah, it is. So it's in America on Showtime.
Yeah.
And in England, Channel 4. So that's on my watch list.
Basically, Hannah Gadsby and her Netflix stand-up special, Nanette. She is an Australian feminist LGBT comedian who uses her own life as source for her show. But what was really interesting in this is that it was all tailored around why she needs to give up comedy. And yeah, I mean, it was really, really funny. Like, it was hilarious. But I don't know, it made me look a bit differently at the world. So,
ooh, it's opened your eyes.
Exactly. Go and watch it.
Cool.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Have you taken off your seatbelt from the digital world?
Yes.
Cool. I never said for a big question. Yes, we're doing a big question.
Yeah.
I never said. Why you should never pat a dog on the head? And what to do instead when you meet an adorable furry friend.
Okay.
So normally the articles I go for like a bit crazy and stuff's going on, but I thought this is going to help people when they next see a dog.
Okay.
It turns out that patting a dog on the head is quite rude in dog language.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
What, like first time you meet one?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're meant to put your hand out and let it sniff your hand first. And then if that's like, hi, I'm here to like greet you, and then it invites you to be touched.
Did you write this article?
Just a man who knows how to touch a dog.
But you are on the right lines.
Thank you.
Because Sarah Bartlett, qualified international dog trainer, has shed some light on why you shouldn't pat a dog on the head. And basically, it's these poor little dogs, they're looking up at you. And if you're coming down with your big hand, it's quite threatening.
Yeah.
And it's saying,
yeah, you're like closing in on it.
Yep, exactly. And some dogs are obviously fine with it, but you will find some of them might react differently and be a bit aggressive because they're like, what are you doing?
Mate, imagine you're walking down the road and you've got this fuck-off giant hand coming towards you without you seeing, just smacking you on your head. I'd be well pissed
off.
Yeah,
but at the same time, if someone just held their hand out, I wouldn't lick it. If it's like a huge hand just down next to you, I would be like, okay.
All right. In human world, it would be like,
oh, I guess, say
meeting
hello.
Someone new, here, handshake, and then you're like, oh, hello, rather than someone just like running up to you and jumping on you.
Yeah, that's true, actually. So what you said is one way of doing it, but she recommends, Sarah, the best thing is to approach him from the side and then go down. I mean, that sounds a little bit
like dodgy. Doing something else, but yeah.
Keep your own bubble and their bubble, and then it's the dog's choice whether they want to go into your bubble. So crouch down sideways and just offer your hand up.
Get
so
on all fours and then start licking, get your tongue out and act like a dog.
If the dog sniffs you, you should then give him a little scratch under the chin or the ear. Oh, and there's another thing we need to be careful about. Okay. So did you ever consider this? Basically, if a dog rolls onto their back and shows their belly, we normally want to give them a belly scratch, don't we? Right? But when you're doing that, normally you're being too firm and rough. No. They like it softer. So you've learned something, haven't you? Be very gentle, slow, steady, very light pressure strokes.
Sorry, this sounds like you're talking to someone who's about to lose their virginity or something.
Dogs
the wording and phrasing that's being used right now is very disturbing.
Because for most dogs, if you're too rough and firm, it's too much for them.
Same for most people when you have sex for the first time.
But yeah, dogs enjoy that a lot more than the tickle we all tend to do, and are likely to do it a lot more. And so that's just a great article. I think that's improved everyone's relationship with their dogs. Yeah. My question to you is, what is your funniest animal story? Not just generally, I mean, because you've had cats in the past and things like that. So you got any interesting anecdotes to do with your cats?
Why don't you go first?
Okay. So basically, I had a cat called Smokey, who we used to call the Don, because he was like, oh, you just didn't want to mess with him. Basically, you'd stroke him for a bit, and then he would just turn, just bite you.
Oh, that's a nice cat.
Well, I really, it's funny because
did you used to do horrible things to it as a child? That's probably
no. Honestly, never. Never. We used to do that one thing. I think we watched...
Held onto its tail whilst it tried to run away.
No, we watched one TV show. It was The Simpsons, actually. And it's saying that when you stroke a dog, you got to stroke it so it can feel it. And it, like, pulls its skin back. And I did that to Smokey, and he didn't like it. Oh. I stroked him too hard.
Pulling all its hair
out. No, but, like, I did it once, and I didn't do it again. But the sad thing... I mean, we all found it really funny, but looking back now, it's quite sad. We went on holiday and basically we came back and Smokey came up to us and we were like, wait, there's something really weird going on. What's happened? Its tail was just like dragging along the floor. You know, normally when I'm going to stand up and then wag, and it was just like dead on the floor. And we were like, what the hell's happened? And he had broken his tail.
What's funny about this?
I found it really funny.
That's not funny.
He looked really cute, but his tail was just like dragging along the floor. And I'm like,
imagine
what are you doing?
Snap your coccyx and then you're like fucking dragging, and then people come in and just laugh at you.
The other time was really funny. We went on holiday. This is a different year. It's not like the month later on another holiday. We came back and we couldn't find him for ages. We were quite scared. We're like, oh no, where's Smokey?
Did you just leave him on his own?
No, someone would come around and feed them every day.
Oh,
no
one would come and care for him.
What are you expecting him to do? Like, he got fed. But basically, he had got stuck up a tree.
Oh, that classic.
Yeah. And he was really sad. When he came down, we could hear him meowing, and we managed to find him, and we brought him back. But yeah, he was like starving, and he was really, really skinny. And I was like, oh no.
Smokey is a classic pet name, isn't it?
It's a unique name. Guess
classic.
What colour he was? Charcoal. But anyway, that's Smokey. Rest in peace.
Okay, if we're going on the cat theme, my granny had a cat who wasn't a friendly cat. And obviously when you're little kids and you go around, and I just wanted to like stroke the cat and it never wanted to be stroked. It used to run away and hide and hiss. It was a big hisser.
I hate hissing.
And my granny had like this little conservatory out the back. And that's where, like, the cat had its little basket that it sat in. Not basket, the bed.
Yeah.
I don't know how old I was like 8 or 9, I must have been. And I just really wanted to, like, stroke the cat. So I was on my hands and knees trying to, like, approach it. And I was getting closer and closer, and it was hissing at me. Oh. And I was like, no, it's fine. I'm just going to stroke it. Kept getting closer. And, it just went for me. Literally poured, scratched all above my eye and literally cut, like, blood out my side of my eye. Yeah, I didn't ever get to stroke it.
Were your parents annoyed?
No, my mum probably called me stupid.
What, so you were crawling face first towards the cat?
Well, yeah, because I was like, oh, I'm just going to be quiet.
It wants to be stroked.
Yeah. Then the only other funny animal story I was going to say is between that and this is I was on a family holiday with my dad, and Max was also on holiday in Spain, and we were staying next to, horses were staying next to us, and I was quite young and immature. I thought it was a good idea to feed a horse a lemon. So I literally handed it a whole lemon. I just ate the lemon.
Did you do that?
Well, I don't know. And then throughout the whole night, it just made a lot of funny noises.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I
don't think horses are meant to eat lemons.
I don't think. Well, a whole lemon with like the skin and everything.
Did it eat it?
Yeah, no, the whole thing. The whole thing.
Oh, that's horrible.
It made a lot of funny noises throughout the night.
Was it still there the next day?
Yeah, it was.
That's okay. So it was a happy ending.
Yeah. No, it didn't die.
Oh, poor. Could you imagine how like bitter its mouth would have been? Like, so thirsty in hot Spain, and you're giving it a lemon. That is actually like your jigsaw from Saw. That's so cruel. Oh, did you think it was funny at the time? Were you like,
you
can give it a lemon.
Yeah.
But how old are you?
Don't know.
Oh, that's too old. Yeah, 17, mate.
Oh, I wasn't 17. I think like 14.
Did you tell your dad?
So the funny thing was, my dad in the morning, I didn't at the time, he was like, what's going on with that horse next door making so much noise?
Oh my god, was it just like neighing all the time? That's so sad.
Treat your horses nicely, people. Well, there we go. That rounds up this week's episode of Lower Your Expectations. I hope you guys have enjoyed. Please
don't feed horses lemons.
Don't feed horses lemons. we now know how to touch pets and maybe approach your first time having sex. So glad we've covered those topics today. I hope you enjoyed. You can subscribe on Acast, on iTunes, and many other places probably. We will see you next week.
Goodbye, guys.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.